Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Black men, podcast, woke women, let it ride. Complicated, just relax and observe. Breaking down of our families, restructured communities. To wake up and see, only your losers are free. Your enemy is your memory. We at your door, black male delivery. Your enemy is your memory. We at your door, black male delivery.
Before you say something out the way.
Here you go, that bullshit.
What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? It's your boy, Tall Sean. T.S. is who I am.
Straight Dot is who I am.
Hold on, bro. What voice you using? I don't like that. You use your sweet and sultry voice for another fucking podcast. Not this one. Hey. Not this one,
sometimes,
brother.
Sometimes your screensaver gets you a little excited.
Oh, my God. This guy. He already on bullshit, everyone.
Yeah,
he
let's get it.
On
let's get
bullshit.
It.
Man, we got a lot going on today. We got a lot to talk about. We got a nice long day set up for ourselves. So let's get right into it. But first, how are you doing?
Wonderful, wonderful.
You in a good space? You in a good space?
Great space. Great space, man.
I get it. I definitely get it. I'm with you 1,000%, man. It's been I had noticed something yesterday. When I went and took my youngest out to the movies, we went to go see an anime at the theater. Then went to Chick-fil-A and did everything that he
was an anime.
To. Yeah, that's what we went to
What's
see.
What's the name of it?
Demon Slayer.
So Demon Slayer is an anime.
Yeah,
I seen it on my Fire Stick. I didn't know what that was.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
it's an anime.
Yeah,
it's okay, an anime. I got it.
Yeah. So we went to go see that, which he enjoyed. It was all in Japanese.
Was it good though? Tell the people what's gonna happen.
Nah, it was definitely good. The only thing I didn't like, if people that's anime heads like myself, and now that you know I got my little one, he's my anime head, so he goes to anime stuff with me. He even said he was like it was too much. It was too long of filler.
So what's the fascination with anime?
It's a great storyline.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a phenomenal storyline. Yes, it's a cartoon, but the storyline.
They have good storylines.
The storylines, you'll be shocked. Okay. You'll be like, God damn. I'll say this. Erica, my wife, as someone that does not watch anime unless she sits down with me, she said one time, she's like, okay, I see why you watch this. She's like, the storylines are so good, you're into it, and then they'll cut off the episode to be over. And she'd be like, God damn, dang, you got any more? I'm like, nah, I ain't got no more until next week.
they have a series.
Yeah, so there's some of them series. Yeah, some of them are full films. Like the one we went was a full film.
Okay.
It was an arc. So they're not gonna actually create a series on this one. They're gonna just go straight to movie. So this was the first installment of the arc.
Okay, so with the anime, are there certain directors and writers?
Yes. It's quite a few different directors, different writers.
So you're familiar with certain writers and directors?
Yep.
Okay, all right, that's cool.
Yep. Yeah, I get it. Even when you do the English dub, if you catch some, like I like watching it and listening to it in Japanese and reading the subtitles.
Is any of it done in the U.S. though?
Only the English dub. So anything
are
that's
they,
English
Are they
dub,
good though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's well known. For people that watch anime, the normal voiceover actors are kind of well-known voiceover actors who've done countless cartoons or, you know, animes or cartoons. And even some that we would know, you know, like black actors that does anime. What's the black dude that was on? You remember the dude that was on? You remember the movie ATL? Remember the black dude that walked in who was Nunu's father?
Okay.
He does a lot of voiceover work too.
Okay, good check. Anime.
So it's good. Yes, it's better for us who watch anime. We like watching it in subtitle, watching, listen to it in Japanese and reading the subtitles because you get a little more in depth because the transition from Japanese to English be a little off, but it still be good.
So you listen to it in Japanese?
Yeah.
So when you went to the movies, you heard it in Japanese?
Yeah, and we read the subtitles.
Oh, yeah, I can't do that.
And my little man is into it the whole time. He's reading the subtitles.
Son, he likes it because daddy likes it. He wants, that's the bonding moment with son and dad.
Yeah, he watches it on his own.
Sometimes he fills it in me. He's locked in now.
He's definitely locked in.
Son, I can't do it, B. I got you.
You know what I mean? So we did that. And then today.
That's wild.
Right. Today, me and Lil Sean going to hoop in the city. So he want to go play ball. And then next Saturday, we're going to see my daughter in Charlotte, and we're going to hang out, spend the day with her after my son's football game. So I was sitting down. I was like, yo, I'm individually checklisting things that I'm doing with each individual child on their own, giving them their own time. And I was just laughing about it. And I was like, well, damn. And then my daughter was like, she was like, well, that's what dads do. So I'll see you Saturday. I was like, you're right. I'll see you Saturday.
That's for sure. That's
you know what I mean? I enjoy that, man. I think more and more as I get older, bro, I realize being a father, being a husband has been fairly more exhilarating than I thought it would be. You know what I'm saying? Like, I way more, you know what I mean? Like, even with my wife, I ain't skipping her. Me and her got date nights. We've been doing a lot more stuff together.
You got to have date night, though.
Got to.
Even if it's at home date night, you still got to make.
We've been doing a lot of those.
You got to make time to have those levels of intimacy. That makes every other level of intimacy even better.
And with us being so busy, man, sometimes you gotta take the time out for one another and do some shit that other person like. Like she know, I get dehydrated a lot, so I've been working out a lot. I've been hooping a lot more, so I've been getting dehydrated a lot. I went, and this medicine that I'm taking, I need to make sure I stay hydrated and keep electrolytes in me. You know what she bought me some electrolyte tablets. They chewable. She just chew it, drink some water behind it. You know,
she don't want you to die, nigga. What the fuck?
She definitely don't want me to die.
You acting like she did something miraculous.
That's dope, though. I didn't ask you to do that. She just
nigga, she ain't trying to be picking your ass up off the floor for dehydration.
She definitely not gonna be able to do that too.
That's the basics. If you please over the basics, y'all gonna be together forever.
I'll please over the basics.
That's the basics.
As a man, your ass know women. Yo, a lot of women do not fucking listen.
Nah, yeah, but I'm saying this nigga 6'6", yo. If he falls out flat, he in trouble. I've been dehydrated before, sir. You can't move.
It's the worst feeling ever, bro.
And a woman will be scared as hell to see legs a big nigga laid
cramping
up, fetal position.
Legs cramping, stomach cramped.
Just
up.
Please be over.
Yeah. You around here like, yo, I need potassium. I need something. Like,
I went to the hospital for dehydration, hooked up to the IV before.
Yup. Give me some salt tablets.
Once from alcohol, once from playing football. That's why I got respect for football players in the summertime, bro.
Yo, it's a place we got to. Yeah, I agree. It's a place me and you gotta slide to and do the IV bag joint, bro. It's a shameless plug, but it's low key family, so
that make you doo doo, don't it?
Nah, I did it. It didn't make me doo doo. This nigga, bro. This nigga, yo, this nigga. I did it. I filmed it. I think we should go and check it out. I think it'll be dope. It's
they still open. That was a couple years ago.
It was probably about
2 years ago.
They still open. All right. They in Durham, in Body Hydration. They actually doing real good. Actually, they growing like a mug. Yeah. I think we should go check that out. Let's get an IV bag, man.
That's a sponsorship, but we gotta pay.
Hey, don't worry about it.
I'm just saying, yo, we're business right now.
Yeah, we are business.
We're business, but, you know, man.
Let's go check it out.
That's advertisement.
It's definitely not a sponsorship.
We advertise it, y'all.
Now, if we go over there and record, I don't know, conversation will be had. And yeah, we'll work out some. We'll work out some funding.
You know what I mean?
That's a fact.
The numbers been looking up.
The numbers been looking quite fucking sexy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Numbers been kind of naked, looking up a little bit.
Yeah,
something to look at.
Well, I know on YouTube, I think I need to start showing you our video numbers. I mean, our audio numbers, but our audio numbers are fire. Our video numbers are finally starting to grow where it's going to
be. A lot of people don't understand the dynamic of out on all platforms.
Yeah.
Out on all platforms means some platforms might not be as solid as others, but right. The numbers across the board are what really matters when you put, even an artist.
Yep.
Your videos might be this, but Spotify might be more, the title might be more, whatever, you know. There's always one platform that's more powerful than others, whatever project you have.
I didn't put this as a list, but I do want to talk about that real quick, because I put something up online the other day for artists, talking to artists like yourself about distribution.
Nah, won't talk to me.
And stuff like that. No. I think it's prevalent, and I want all of us to start thinking about where we distribute our music at and who we distribute our music with. And what I mean by that is Spotify right now has a situation where it's in the fine print. If you distribute your music with Spotify, they own it. They can do whatever they want with it. They can take they are right now trying to build their AI platform, and they're using us as artists and distributors, and they're using us to fulfill that, and we make nothing from it. We'll get nothing from it. They already one of the lower paid out platforms out there. And on top of them now stealing our information, and we are agreeing to it, because if you distribute your music with Spotify, you agree to define the terms and conditions that they can use your music however they want to, whenever they want to, on whatever they want to, and there's nothing that we could do about it.
So you're suggesting not to post on Spotify in the future?
I'm suggesting you think about your business model and figure out what best fits you. I think some platforms need to be X'd out, and they need to learn that they're not
what platform the only should be platform, X'd out?
The only on platform. I say fuck Spotify. I've always been saying fuck Spotify. And if you're an independent artist and you can distribute your music, you can click if you want it on Spotify or not. You could click if you most want it on Apple definitely. Music or not, or Deezer and all these other platforms. I just think we got to start doing our due diligence and look at your numbers. The problem is with Spotify, and I know this, especially with independent artists, it's easy to manipulate. So a lot of times artists are not going to not use Spotify, because you can go and botch your numbers and Spotify doesn't really take it away.
Yeah, that's what everybody's doing. That's how they got.
And they may not pay you out, but you got Apple Music who don't play that shit. YouTube Music who don't play that shit. Your shit got to be legit. You got certain platforms that Tidal, they just don't play that shit. It's going to be harder to botch your shit. Spotify, you can bot the hell out of it and you can get, you know, they'll pay you out $100 after.
Well,
after
that's what everybody that does quote unquote promotion.
Right.
It's always a Spotify promotion.
Always. It's never nothing else.
Yeah.
You can't get an Apple Music promotion.
I mean, that's right.
So
I yank my shit on Spotify tomorrow. Okay.
So I say artists need to think about those things. You know what I mean? Start reading these terms and conditions, because that's one thing you motherfuckers don't know.
Well, a lot of people don't know, because it's always promoted as if Spotify is a necessity. Because everyone that does promotion, that's what they speak on. They speak on Spotify. And I never go on Spotify. Like, if I took my shit on Spotify, I don't think it would bother me at all, because I don't fuck with Spotify. And anybody I know that listens to music,
we don't.
All I know is YouTube Music, or I know a couple of people that have Tidal.
Yeah, and Apple.
Because they like Tidal and Apple Music from, you know, I'm on iPhone people.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that actually uses Spotify. They claim to have all of these different listeners. I mean, maybe it's the truth, but I don't know anybody personally that searches for my stuff on Spotify. And I don't go on Spotify ever.
See.
So if I took my stuff on Spotify, it wouldn't affect me at all.
And that was just tidbit, because as someone that's been behind the scenes in music for so long, I've read and I check up and try to stay in the know of certain things. And that's what made me think about it, and I put that on Facebook.
Well, information is meant to be shared, and people have to be accessible to information as well. You have to hear things out.
Right.
You know, a lot of times, you know, you hear a person say that, and the first thing you want to do is knock it, because you're probably one of the people that pay for Spotify promotion and have a million streams.
Right.
And got like a $100 check for the million streams. So you basically spent $150 to get $100 in return over some fake-ass bot numbers. So, you know, it's crazy to me how you can have 2 million streams, but you can't even sell 20 tickets to perform. You know, it doesn't translate. You know what I'm saying? But that's
just sell 5 tickets to
that's
perform.
Well, I said 25. Okay, cool. You know, that's just, you know, it doesn't translate. And as an artist, I actually want to love and have true numbers. That's one thing I do like about Bandcamp.
I was just going to suggest
I get exact numbers. Yep. And my Bandcamp numbers have gone up. Mm-hmm. And I can see it day to day. And I can see which record or which EP is being listened to, and it gives me an indication, yep, at least on what maybe I need to push more or what is actually successfully being pushed.
And you that's can't really how control. You're supposed to use your numbers.
Yeah, and you can't control how people receive things.
Nope.
But you can't get an indication of, well, I dropped 2 EPs on the same day. If the numbers are so different, maybe I'm doing more for one and none for the other, but the numbers are similar with right. it. So maybe one is listening to one and the other. Maybe one is one and not the other, but it's been sort of a quality within the push. And Bandcamp actually gives you some good analytics, some sensible analytics. Some analytics ain't even sensible.
Right, yeah.
They just give you a lot of shit that's just
yeah.
for us to just look at a bunch of charts.
Yeah, when they throw a bunch of age groupings.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I look at one age group. Like, when I think about our podcast, I look at a certain age group,
and that's
the age group that matters to me. Those tail-off age groups or that super older age group, I don't really look at.
Demographics are cool.
Yeah, demographics are needed. You know,
just like to know
women, I mean, women. You know what I mean?
I think women are more supportive. Period. Because even musically, there's more women than men. You know what I'm saying? So I just think women are just more supportive publicly.
You know what I saying? Agree. I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
Men sometimes just won't support nothing, you know, publicly.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like I told one of my partners, I said, "Yo, you know, most people that support my music is like silent supporters." You know what I'm saying? They ain't really speaking on it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Publicly or on social media. Now it's kind of changed, but most of the people that speak on me in social media circles, DJs or whatever, these are people I don't know.
Right.
I've met just like, you know, just within the culture.
Right.
Even with podcasts, anybody I know that supports me podcast wise, I've met within this space.
Right.
Over time, which is cool. I appreciate that. You know,
same thing here.
Yeah. Shout out to my man Gino. He supports everything. If Gino misses something, and I've never met Gino in person. If Gino misses something, he actually, my bad, bro, I forgot, whatever.
Right.
I'm like, you got to do that.
But
he instinctively does that. And every time we did a live, Gino was there.
Yeah, he was there.
You know what I'm saying? And I never met him in person. If I met him in person, we'll probably look at each other and start fucking laughing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's been years.
Wow.
Supports everything. Music, podcast, goofy shit. whatever.
Right.
He a Bears fan. I was a Cowboys fan. We clown each other because both our teams ass. You know, even the Cowboys are way better than the Bears, but still
different kind of ass, right?
One is cheeks, one is ass.
One is full of shit, the other one is like, all right, we a little clean, but we still ass.
Yeah, one is a fart, one is doo-doo.
I thought about this when the wife told me something the other day. She was like, yeah, I got this person that I know who listens to the pod. They told me they listen to everything, but they just don't leave comments. They like, I don't really leave comments.
I don't like that.
And I laughed because I thought about you.
I don't like that.
They listen to every episode of my wife and our show. They listen to everything that we do. They love what we do. They love the content. But they
don't
just,
like it.
They just don't leave a comment.
I hate it. And I'm going to make it clear to you why.
Uh-huh.
many of us that have, you know, creative expressions, we don't have the big marketing dollars.
Nope.
Your comment
is the marketing dollars.
Yes, your comment is just like with me having a brand. If you buy something from me or I promo you a piece,
yep,
you not taking a picture and posting it is not helping me at all.
None.
You know what I mean? That shows me you're not my friend. You know what I'm saying? Because that's part of marketing. Even with music, if you listening to something, just a like or at least a fire emoji or something,
right,
just goes a long way. Because that helps with the analytics. That helps with the algorithms. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If you have simple, I can say simple with the podcast. Stuff on TikTok that'll get to 500, 1,000, 2,000 views. It all starts with the first comment.
Yes.
Next thing you know, everybody's seeing it. Second comment, more people are seeing it. Now, maybe you don't know that's how the algorithms pop off. But if you have no comments on a post, I promise you that shit is not going to get out there.
Nope.
Sometimes it will. But that comment.
That one comment.
Those engagements, yes.
That shit helps a lot.
The engagements, man. Now, you know, then you get to the point, you got to start liking your man's shit and leaving a comment just to get the algorithm started.
I do it all the time.
Yeah, like
I do it all the fucking time. I do it all.
Throw the fist up in there, dude, fire emoji.
I hit the like button, share. I leave a quick comment or something. I try to do that all the time. I definitely going to share.
That's the algorithms. Yep. Maybe it won't catch, but I can't tell you, if you leave nothing, it definitely won't catch.
Yo, try to do something.
Yeah, yeah.
But, try to do something.
Now, I'm not being unappreciative for listeners.
Right. No.
But that bothers me more than anything.
I know. That's why I thought
about it. When somebody talks back to me and knows every record, the pod, the clothing brand, and I've never seen one like or one comment.
Yep.
And it's always somebody I know personally. And people I don't know personally do this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
No, I get it. Let's jump into it, man. We're going to go to sports. I want to talk about Wofford's men's basketball team. And the reason why I want to talk about Wofford's men's basketball team is because of this reason alone. They had a situation where their coach was let go. And about six players on the team were kicked off the team and eligible. They were deemed ineligible because when they came to the school to go to play basketball, they got moved out of freshman housing into senior housing, which is off campus, but it's for the team. And because they were living off campus, they were using their food voucher to eat on campus. So their food voucher was ranked between $50 to $180. And they all got in trouble because of that. So the six players deemed ineligible. Coach got let go because it was a breach of NCAA rules for food vouchers. Eating on campus. Campus lunch. Not off campus eating. The on campus meals. In the era of fucking NIL, when niggas is making millions of dollars to play basketball, these kids got deemed ineligible and the coach was fired.
Bro, your team is ass as it is. So you got rid of coaching six players.
Yo,
athletics aggravate the hell out of me.
Let me tell you, hold on. Quick caveat. Right now, every player on the team, including those six, are eligible to leave in the portal and play for another team because it's far off from the season. Season doesn't start until, October? So,
every
player can leave right now.
I hope the whole team leaves.
Me too. They're saying that they're going to do that. The coach is not reinstated.
This some of these rules are out of control.
Yes.
The only thing I could think of that's worse than that is your man that got in trouble because he was getting the Uber rides for the people.
Right.
And then I remember also the coach
of
St. Aug. The coach of St. Aug.
That was high school. Yeah.
Coach of St. Aug got in trouble because he was spending his own money to get equipment because the school didn't have proper equipment. This is just crazy to me. Back in the day, these niggas was getting
St. Aug is damn near
son, these niggas was getting expeditions and all kind of shit back before NIL money.
Bro.
Now you crying about food vouchers?
Food vouchers.
Because I got a Chick-fil-A sandwich? No mustard?
On campus.
Waffle
fries, no salt.
Yo, shut.
I need my salt on my waffle fries, though.
Yo, let these young athletes enjoy the experience, man. You got to have rules and regulations, yes.
Yes.
some of these rules need to be updated. Y'all need to have these meetings. I know y'all have meetings, but bring this stuff up and update some of this stuff. Some of this stuff has to be updated. And even when you have a violation, there should be a meeting on whether or not this is valid in today's time. Yep. Even in the workplace, yo. Certain things that are violations in 2025 need to be changed.
Oh, I definitely agree. And that one is one.
Let alone the Constitution, but we ain't doing politics on this show.
Nah.
Listen to my man, Politrick.
Yep, listen to Sky shit, Politrick.
Nah, Sky, that's my guy.
Yeah.
But,
and he got two new co-hosts, everyone. He's actually about to ramp things up.
And that's not a shameless plug.
No, it's not at all.
No shame.
My bad. But, it was $84 to $108.
So I don't care if it's $200, man. If that should be part of my scholarship.
It really should be.
Nah, man, they got to do better, man. They got to do better, bro.
They call it misappropriate benefits.
I say you just need to update the guidelines. That's all. Or
and
if you had a problem.
Look, that's the coach.
I already knew that.
Yep.
It's rough on them light skin ones, dude. What I would say is this. I could understand if there was some kind of a punishment levied if it's there. But after that punishment, let's update this rule. Then I could feel that. And the punishment should be light. Not even a real punishment. Like a write-up that means nothing.
Right. I agree.
An acknowledgement of the rule, and let's change this rule. Coach shouldn't have been let go, though. And really, I'm going to say something my mentor told me one time when I had lost a job. He said to me, look at it as a blessing. The way that company is run and the way they let you go, did you really want to be with that company anyway?
I agree.
So, hey, young man, take it as that, man. Yep. If it's meant for you to be a coach, you're going to find a better place.
That's a fact.
If they didn't do you dirty then, they did you dirty once you started getting it popping, bro.
That's a fact. That is a motherfucker. I felt bad for that team, man, but I thought it was weird as hell when I saw that. Let's jump into the next Kawhi Leonard investigation. We're not going to break down all about the Kawhi Leonard investigation, but it's starting to all come out how his uncle Dennis and—
I'm tired of him, bro.
Bro. Bro, how they—
You play 20 games a year, bro. Whatever, bro. Man. They shouldn't even let him in the Hall of Fame just because he played too much.
Bro.
Like, Joe, you're the only person that played for Pop that turned out to be weird. You know what I'm saying? Because at first they was acting like Pop did something to him. And I'm like, how is he the only person?
Right. Out of everybody all these years.
Steven Jackson said bad things about Pop, but then he changed
it to
be like—
He didn't recant it
every time. He didn't recant it, but he contradicted because he basically said Pop gave him—
Right.
Whatever you
want. And he say all the time he loves Pop.
Yeah, but then again, you say how Pop was this, he was that.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, man. But like I said, you're the only person.
Hold on, quick one. I defend Steven Jackson a lot. Steven Jackson is full of shit.
I don't defend him anymore. I stopped years ago.
Yeah, you did. You said that.
I stopped years ago. From the first time he started wearing the Muslim clothes, and it lasted, 2 months?
It didn't last long at all.
Yeah. That's the first time, not to cut you off, I want you to get back to it.
No.
The first time I seen a Muslim carry themselves like a Bible thumper.
Yeah, he definitely did.
Because you know Bible thumpers, I can't stand
all
those.
Time, me neither.
And you Muslims just started going to church, and now you tell them you're going to pray for me, and you know, praise God all day.
Yeah.
Bro, you just started going to church, man. If you don't shut up with that garbage, man, kick you in your ass, bro. Like, you know the Bible didn't just come out last week, right?
It did not. It got years on the show.
I'm talking about my first Bible. Yo, get out of here.
That's funny as hell.
All of a sudden,
right.
You celibate. Man, kick your
come
ass.
On, man.
Fucking 50 years old and you celibate.
I'm selling a bit.
You fucked up. I might have bought a little bit.
Yo. Stupid. I told E, I'm jumping off. I told the wife I was at Chick-fil-A. You know, they already super nice. But the young lady, really she had the little lip gloss popping. She was all in the car, all in my damn face. And she reached over and rubbed my hand and stuff. I said, hey, look, hey. Crazy, leave me alone now.
Super size that order.
I'm a grown man, baby.
Yeah.
I'm married with children. Leave me alone. I mess with my wife all the time when shit like that happens.
Don't look at me like that.
I be telling her, I say, hey, tighten up. You remember, I'm still Mr. Give Bitches out here.
Oh, yeah. It ain't sweet out here. I'm marketable.
Yeah. I hit losing weight, baby, but tighten up.
Yeah, what do you think this is?
But it's funny. But back to Kawhi. I think what's going on, Kawhi, I think what's going to happen is Steve Ballmer is going to cause to lose some money, but he a billionaire, a super billionaire. He don't give a fuck about none of that shit.
Pocket change.
Yep. He going to lose some chicken. He probably going to lose some draft picks. Kawhi Leonard is definitely going to lose some money. He's probably going to be suspended for a couple games. But it doesn't matter because it's not like the nigga plays anyway.
Come on. He still draws like a 1992 UConn.
From what I'm hearing, the Clippers are – a lot of people in the Clippers front office are kind of tired of his shit and they tired of his uncle shit. Because everything that pops up, it be about his uncle, and which is weird. It's not weird to me because it's always that one family member, especially after his pops passed and all this other shit. There's always that one family member that step in that you just trust, overly trust. That may not have your best interest at heart because I think a lot of that money was his uncle's money.
Well, my only problem with that is when you're a player at Kawhi Leonard's level, I don't think that should be a problem anymore as far as Kawhi. Kawhi should have been, just like Allen Iverson had to distance himself from people at one time. You know, I can't think of nobody else on top of my head that had to distance himself from people. But just like he had to do that, Kawhi should do that, man.
See, but it's hard to distance yourself from people when you think that person is doing everything right. And that's the sad part. He probably thinks this man is doing everything right. That man has done nothing right.
I can't speak on that, but because I was going to say something, I changed my mind. That is so delusional to think what is being done is right. Bro, you play 40 games a year.
That's it. Barely.
I don't even want to check the stats.
Barely
that. I know he doesn't play more than 50.
Barely that. I get it.
Like, come on, man. And you demand max salary?
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if they traded him. But whatever team takes him on is crazy.
They going to do it.
Nah, I would never take him to my team. Because you're going to have to give up so much to match that salary. The only way I would do that is if I'm cutting my team on a rebuild.
They going to do it, bro.
There's always somebody that's a taker. It's easy to say, man, ain't nobody going to pay him that money. Yeah, somebody will.
Yep, somebody
John Wall was getting signed just to sit on the bench and not play at the end.
Yep.
Because the Clippers had signed him one time. He didn't even play.
He didn't even play.
So, this salary dumps. It's sad, though, because as a fan, I think I'm cheating because Kawhi was a great player.
Thank you, Cheetah. I think we always cheat.
Still is a great player, but he doesn't play.
He's definitely a very good player.
First ballot Hall of Famer. I don't think
it's going to be first ballot.
No, I'm saying.
He'll be in the Hall of Fame.
He was on his path to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Easy.
Yeah.
But now he's an afterthought. Like people, when they say, oh, the Clippers might be good this year. And I'm like, based on what?
Right.
How many games is Paul George going to play? Like people forget he was even over there.
Right.
Playoff Peter never did shit in the playoffs. What is that? Who made that up?
He did something.
Protect your boats and recreational vehicles with FBP RV and Marine Antifreeze. It has burst-proof protection down to negative 50 degrees, keeping you protected against freezing temperatures. Keep your winter worry-free with FBP ready-to-use RV and Marine Antifreeze now at Menard. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of automotive products. Save big money at
Menards. One time.
Yeah, one good playoff game in his whole career.
Yep.
Playoff P. This podcast is dope, but we ain't talking about podcast. We're talking about basketball. But, yeah.
You think his podcast is dope?
I like it. But I like hearing players and rappers that got podcasts, man. You know what I mean?
I get it.
I think it's hard for it to be bad. Even though some people are terrible, I think T.I. was terrible.
You think his podcast was terrible?
Yeah, I think it was terrible. I think he overtalks. I think he tries too hard to use big words all the time. Like, nigga, be normal. You know what I'm saying? The dictionary didn't get started yesterday. You a vocabulary thumper. And I like T.I. I was being silly, though.
Yo, 2024-2025 season, this nigga only played 37 games.
There's nothing else to be said.
20 home games, 17 away games, non-divisional divisional games. How they broke it. They got it all broken down, but that's it.
That's ridiculous.
So 20 home, 17 on road games equal 37. That's it.
Put your LMB in the same.
Let me look at it. 2023-2024, he played 68 games.
That's a lot for him.
Yep. 31 home, 37 road.
And then he's getting older. So, yeah. I mean.
And 2022-2023, 52 games. 28 home, 24 away.
And they hate Pop because Pop don't play that.
Right. Pop don't play that at all.
How dare you make me play games?
1 year, he ain't played no game.
That's crazy.
Because I think he was out injured the whole season.
You're injured? What's wrong with you?
Hey man, he been complaining about his back for long. Yo, let's jump into this next one, man. We all saw that Netflix fight, Bud Crawford versus Canelo. One, I want to give a shout out to Netflix. It's not a sponsor. They did a phenomenal job. That first fight, if you remember that first fight they did, the shit was cutting off.
They had to figure it
out.
Yeah,
it was bandwidth issues. But this one,
figure it out.
From the undercards, which is y'all got one too many undercard. One too many. Y'all had three undercards and then the main fight.
Yeah, I was getting tight.
Drop one of them undercards or move it from a 12-round undercard to maybe 10 rounds or 8 rounds, especially them first ones. Them first ones, move them shit to like eight rounds.
Nothing needs to be 12 rounds unless it's a title fight. Yeah.
Right. Drop them bitches down. Because that last one, that last undercard fight was boring.
That shit could have been 5 rounds.
Bro, I went to sleep on that one. I set my alarm. I went to sleep. I woke up right when the Canelo
I locked in as soon as possible because I didn't want to miss nothing. And I'm sitting here like, where's this fight going to start?
Bro, I watched it from the beginning. I went to sleep on the third fucking jump. I sat in my recliner and went to sleep. Woke up. Fight time. Let's go. I was good to go.
Somebody missed out on some yams that night, sir.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of us did.
She went to sleep.
Because mine did. Mine was right to sleep. So mine was gone.
I mean, I stayed to watch this fight.
I did.
I don't know. I got to wait this out.
Nigga, if I know what I know now, I'd have just did something during that third fight.
No, great fight. Two class acts.
Two class acts. The only thing is with boxing that I'm tired of is their judging system. Their judging system is ass. One of them had it as a draw.
Well,
one had it Bud winning, one had it as a draw. The last one had Bud winning, so that made it a unanimous across the 12 board.
The 12th round did it for Bud. If Bud didn't win that 12th round, it would have been a draw. They already came out and said that. Yeah, if he didn't win the 12th round, it would have been a draw.
We watched that fight.
Doesn't matter.
That's how I know box. The judging system is trash.
A lot of times it's just set up for the rematch.
We watch that fight. Bud ain't lose probably but one round. Maybe but one round. The rest of that shit, he was cooking, buddy.
I mean, it was a masterclass, but I don't think it was like he kicked his ass or nothing.
That boy got beat up. I get what you're saying. He got beat up. He even said he got beat up.
He didn't say he got beat up. He lost the fight.
He lost that shit.
He lost, but I don't know about beat up.
He got beat up. Bro.
He got outboxed.
Definitely got outboxed.
I don't know about beat up, man. This nigga got over 60 fights. Beat up?
He got beat up.
I
keep hearing that he got over 60 fights. How many fights Bud has?
Bud has like 30-something. Bud ain't fought as much as Canelo. Nobody fights as much as Mexicans, bro.
Oh, are we counting your real fights or are we counting all the Mexican fights where they fought in the
It's all professional fights, bro. I ain't going through that with your ass, man. No matter where it is, they're still pro fights. Mexican fighters usually are more active.
Uh-huh.
That's just always how it's been. There ain't no knock on nobody. Bud don't fight a lot of fights.
Right. He got 42 wins, 0 losses, 31 knockouts.
Canelo fought about 65 fights.
All right. Canelo has, 63 wins, 3 losses, 2 draws.
But Canelo,
39 knockouts.
Canelo one of them niggas that'll fight anybody. You know what I mean? I give him credit for that. Canelo don't care. His whole career, he'll fight anybody. Whatever fight is on the table, let's go.
Except for Triple G.
I mean, that's debatable.
That's not debatable. He hasn't fought him. And they've been ducking that fight for a while.
That's debatable. Who's ducking? Nobody knows unless they into it.
Right.
Nobody really knows. And then years later, you find out who really was the problem. We don't really know.
It was a good fight. I think Netflix did a good job. I can't wait to see more real fights. Yeah, I think Netflix did a good job.
That shit was great. You wildin'.
Nah. That's debatable.
Good job at Showtime Boxing.
That's debatable.
What?
Yeah, that's debatable.
She gonna take my word and flip
that's
it.
That's debatable.
What's that bullshit, man?
I'm just saying.
All right, I'm gonna let you cook, though. Why is it debatable?
Job. It's debatable.
If I say something debatable, I can tell you why. Why is it debatable?
You haven't yet, but
only
cool.
thing is wrong. Only thing is wrong was the card was too long.
The card.
But that's
was
not. Is that
long.
Netflix problem?
Yeah, that's Netflix.
Netflix put the card together.
I don't know who put the card together.
I thought it was the Iron Sheik.
It wasn't the Iron Sheik by himself. It was also UFC.
First of all,
UFC
too. Nah, this is a racist.
That's racist as hell. We gonna let that shit rock.
What? You know what I said though.
Yeah, I know what you said.
Come on, everybody, WWE, the Iron Sheik. Come
knew
on,
what you said. Shay,
nobody here did not think Iron Sheik when they saw him. Shay.
I did.
Just Iron Sheik right there.
I remember we were sitting.
What? Nikolai Volkov? You ain't thinking about none of that?
Yo, he was stone face on the sideline.
Man,
the whole
he ain't
fight.
Smile, laugh, or nothing.
He ain't do
he
shit.
Got up one time. I don't know where he went, but he got up one time.
Yo, bro, that shit was. I said, yo, bro, no, he chickened up because he just sitting there stone face. And they was in Vegas. So I'm sitting there like, I'm shocked they didn't do that shit overseas.
That could have rebooted. That could have been the reboot for boxing.
They just got to do something with the judging system. I just don't know about that judging shit, bro.
That's not going to change.
It's not gonna change the judges.
Championship fights,
so
you gotta
bad,
knock, you gotta
bro.
Knock niggas out, man.
Yeah,
and in order to beat certain people, you have to beat them for real.
But they put too much of them personal self into the judging.
How do you change
which
that?
Which is crazy to me. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't know.
That can't be proven.
No,
you know what I'm saying. But still, in all, Bud is still a black man. Like I'm saying, we have to overcome certain forces. But it's okay
the,
with
the three
it.
Fights
he
lost. I know two of them that Canelo lost were from two black guys. Each time, what was that third fight he lost?
I don't know, but Canelo, he like I said, Canelo will fight anybody.
Right. I like
everybody
class
knows that.
Though.
And I like it when Canelo loses, he don't make excuses.
Nah,
he said Bud's style confused him.
Yep.
And he said Bud was more complicated than Floyd for him.
Yeah, for him. Yep.
For him. And some people be like, oh, he didn't say anything.
He said
Bud was more complicated for him.
Yep.
That's all he said.
Yeah, he didn't shit on Floyd. They gotta stop that shit.
Nah. This is what I hate. That's just as bad as the multiple people that call me a sexist. You take your small piece of information and then you let out a declaration emphatically. Like you done found some new shit, right? This nigga over here laughing. But I'm saying, it's been several times I've been called that.
It has.
And I support women wholeheartedly.
Yes, you do.
But what I don't like,
yes, you do,
is hoes and bitches.
Nah.
And they are not the same person. You got three levels of female.
Yeah, okay.
You got women, and we love you all. Yes. Black, white, Puerto Rican, Latino.
Don't matter.
Women. Then you got them hoes.
Yeah.
We don't like them hoes and home wreckers.
No, we don't like hoes. We don't like hoes.
Them bitches.
They fun, but we don't like
them. Nah, we ain't messing with them bitches.
We don't like no bitches. Not a one.
Them bitches, you know, y'all just want to start some trouble.
I could be a dick and add a fourth, but I won't.
Yeah, the bitches pay $6.22 rent and then say Cheesecake Factory a whack date.
I could add one more, but I'm not.
What?
Nah, we gonna move on.
Rotisserie?
No. Oh, I don't like that shit. Me and Erica talked about that on our pod, and a bunch of people commented on that too. I said, I told her, I said that's the one thing I'm not for. I'm never a man that's judging a woman about their past. You do what you do. We've all had a past, but if I known you had a train ran on you, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't be a part of it. I just can't do it.
Is that a discussion in any circle?
I don't know.
I don't believe in judging a woman by her past, but like if you used to do porn,
right? Little shit.
Or,
like, I feel like you got to know
had,
your person. You got to get to know your.
Or
person.
Or you had one of them what you call butt cakes going on.
What
the butt cake when you sit around and like 20, 30 people nuddle on your face?
Oh no, hell! I've never heard of that.
I'm just saying certain things are just unforgivable.
I just
can't do that.
I'm a type of nigga. I ain't gonna front. I'm gonna Google you. I'm gonna Google your name once I learn your street name.
Hold on.
Any videos pop up.
Hold on. First of all, if I could Google your shenanigans,
that's a wrap.
No, I'm not even breaking up with you. I'm just disappearing.
Bro, I told E
just act like you don't know me.
I told her off top. I said, yes, we've been together for X amount of years. Yes, we have two kids. If I found out that you had a rotisserie ran on you, I'm gone for a couple of days. I got to figure things out. I got to know if I'm trying to do
you
this.
You still coming back, though.
I don't know that. I don't know
that. He a chump.
I don't know if I'm coming back. I don't know.
Full-blown rotisserie. He coming back on third day.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm coming back.
I'm done.
That shit going to be hard as hell.
I'm not going to mentally
unsee.
I am not going to have one of those days watching porn and my lady pop up, Chase.
Bro, no. I'm just talking about just
the thumbnail looks familiar,
bro.
Imagine that.
I'm just talking about you having a rotisserie done on you and it ain't been filmed. You just happen to want to tell
me. You can't Google it then.
No, I'm just saying you just happen to tell me.
I thought we were talking about Google actually.
No, I'm just saying we sat down, you having a heart to heart with your lady. First of all,
let me tell you.
Y'all talking about life escapades and then you said, oh, I had a nigga ran train on me.
First of all,
him and his
friend. Having an extreme level of transparency in a relationship is powerful.
It's powerful, yes.
But for you to feel comfortable enough to tell me that.
You don't love me.
You don't like me at all.
Not at all. You should have kept. I told her that. I said, if it ever happened.
I want 99%.
Keep that shit to your fucking
self. I want 99% transparency from my lady. That's the 1% right there.
Yeah, keep that bitch to yourself.
That 1% right there.
I don't want to know.
Then you going to tell me who the guys were to?
Oh, my God.
Who? What? You had Jamal.
Well, me and my wife from small town.
Jamal and Leroy.
If that ever happened, she know the niggas. I'm be tight, bro.
Yo,
that means I know the niggas.
What if he was your uncle?
I'm be tight.
You was just with that nigga watching the game.
I might have killed that nigga, bro.
Oh shit.
I might beat the brakes off that nigga, dog.
He got footage in his phone.
I might beat the brakes off that
nigga. Got it in his Dropbox. It's in his Google Drive.
You making me drink water.
Oh man.
I might fuck that nigga up, man. You get off of that if I get up.
That's wild. But crazy though, women will forgive us for crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm not offended when you say it's a double standard.
Trey, bro. It's a double standard.
I'm not offended about
it. Think about it, bro.
So what?
I don't really want to think about it, but think about it.
No, I don't want to.
We know a rotisserie. Y'all know what a rotisserie is. That's that stick that goes in between a damn chicken and spin around. So that's a nigga in the back, a nigga in the front.
It's that the stick that go in and you spin it around
through the chicken and you spin around.
But I'm gonna say this. Let me say this. I gotta say this.
We
I
can't have no rotisserie ran on us unless you play it. Unless you playing on both sides of the fence. Unless you pitching in batting.
We don't.
Then
we don't,
that's a different story.
We don't talk about those on this.
You
show.
Be a stuffed ham.
We all know, and me and my man were joking about this. We all know at least one woman that is dope.
Yeah.
Got a career together. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Great conversation. That used to be
a whore.
Yeah, we all know one.
Whore.
And I know one that's a dope person. Love her as a person. She's amazing. But her past is just will probably end any relationship if dude finds out. But there's no way for dude to find out unless people get messy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And I'm cool with not never knowing.
I don't need to know.
I don't need to know.
Because I will say, if she ever really settles down with a dude, she probably be a solid wife. You know what I'm saying? Because she done got all her shit out the way years ago.
Look, bro.
And it's not fair to judge people by their past.
Nah.
I wouldn't want to be judged by my past.
I was a whore.
But if a person did judge me by my past, I would understand it and just move forward. Because one thing I'm not going to do is repeatedly explain myself and keep talking about shit that doesn't matter right now.
Nah, me neither.
I'm not going to keep doing that shit, yo.
Hey, I was a whore coming up. I was bad.
I wasn't. I don't know what he's talking about.
I admit to it. Yeah. He capping, but it's cool though.
I wasn't.
Everybody have their own truths.
I always had a girlfriend.
You always had a girlfriend. I always had one too, but I always cheated on them.
So just because you have an infidelity issue, you're a whore?
Yes.
No, I just didn't believe in monogamy.
Well, I have a girlfriend.
Because that's basically what she said she was.
This nigga, bro.
I didn't break up with.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I love these general loopholes you like to create.
It's not a loophole.
Drop through.
Sean, if I see a woman and I'm seeing her on a regular more than other people, in her mind we go together. Who am I to change the dynamic? You can control that narrative. I don't care. You know what I mean? I mean, some chicks will slut you out. Y'all have a sexual relationship. Who cares? Some chicks want dates and shit like that. And if you love her company, you end up going on dates. You know what I'm saying? Monogamy just didn't matter to me at the time.
Let him get that bullshit out.
It's not bullshit, the truth. How can it be bullshit if it was my truth years ago?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm
I like how you do that. Years ago.
Years ago, man. I'm a one woman man. I'm cool with one woman. It's just no big deal. There's no time. It's too much. Too much goes into that shit, bro.
I know.
Yo, after talking to your person on the phone,
like, I'm not trying to really talk no more after that.
Son, I am talked out. Sometimes I don't have a lot of talk. Sometimes I can talk a long time. Sometimes I don't have a lot of talk.
I get it.
Now, when you add the in-person time, I ain't got enough left, bro. I ain't got it, son.
Depleted. Energy depleted.
Oh, son, I'm washed. Washed university, man. After doing the pod once a week and then trying to get my music together and regular work. And then seeing my mother 3 days a week and then having that person, son, I'm washed.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
You know, I live with mine. So
you going to ask me how was my day? Fuck my day. I don't want to talk to you about that shit.
Dog, I could be down at my desk working, getting busy, getting to it. Erica cut that corner. She talking before she cut the corner. And then as soon as she walk in, I look back at her. I've learned to like just indulge.
How much listening?
And just listen and then talk. Okay. And then she'll go
by. How much listening can you have in one day of a female voice? How much?
I listen all day, bro. So,
but that is your person. That's my point.
Yeah, that's my person. Yeah.
So you expect me to listen to you as well? Is that part of the game?
Yeah.
Yo, what happened back in the days? You can call a chick at 1 a.m. and they'd be like, come through. And you just do your thing and then leave and go back home.
I don't know. I don't remember them days. I didn't do that.
This nigga full of shit. I'm talking like 20 years ago, though. But come on, man.
20 years ago.
Pull up and pull out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I went with my wife 20 years ago.
Sticky, man. See, that's the problem with potty, man. That's
it was
like,
17, though.
It's like 95% authentic. That 5%, you know, you got
to
be like.
I had to count. You got to be 17.
Like, you got to be like, yo, chill, say. Huh?
I had to count. It's been 17.
I don't mean exact years. I mean like college days. You know what I mean? You can just pull up.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah, we got a couple of those escapades. I'm not going to lie.
You remember the first time a chick slutted you out and how you felt?
Yeah, it was groundbreaking.
Did you feel like used a little bit?
I wasn't mad at it, yeah.
Was you in college?
Yeah, I was in college. The first time I had a threesome was in college. The girl came to my apartment with a friend. And I sold weed. So we smoking, we chilling, we having a conversation. This girl, I knew her and I was always doing something. I'm chilling. Next year, I know I go to the bathroom, I come out, they was eating each other out. And then they looked at me.
You nasty guy.
They looked at me like you joining in. I said, give me a minute. I said, give me a second. I went to the bathroom. I had to talk to myself. This is my first time doing that shit. I looked in the mirror. I said, Sean. I looked at my partner.
You didn't feel cheap. You didn't feel cheap next time you saw them?
I did. I did for a minute. Did you? Yeah, I did. I felt a little like, yeah. It was a great time. They both fucked the nigga up. They ruined me for a little while.
That happened to me twice, once at East College. One time made me feel cheap. One time actually just made me look at people differently. When I was at State, it happened with a white girl that I'd never seen before a day in my life. Because I used to have my own room in the dorm, mm-hmm. and she just popped up naked drunk.
Oh, damn.
You know what I mean? There's no feeling. But HBCU.
They call that statutory rape.
No,
days.
HBCU. I probably would have gotten in trouble for that shit. She would have been like, I don't know him. And I'd have been like, what?
Right.
But at HBCU, I had the key to the dorm, went up in the dorm, did my thing. The next day, I see her on the yard. She's with her boyfriend. She had a boyfriend. And she says hi. Mm-hmm. And the boyfriend says, what's up? And then she looks back.
You get your head nod. So she knew what it was.
Never dealt with her again. And to make it worse, check out a coincidence. I got locked up for some bullshit.
Right.
Got bailed out on my own incognito, what you call it?
Yeah, yeah. I got you.
She's in the fucking lobby.
Oh, wow.
Looking at me laughing. I see you again. And I'm like, yo, this girl basically used me to have sex one night in the dorm.
Yeah. Yeah, you got used.
Because her boyfriend was a cornball.
Well, yeah, he was on some bullshit. Yep.
I couldn't do nothing but laugh.
That happened to me before as well.
I couldn't do nothing but laugh.
Not in that manner, but I got used. Yo, because bro, because I'm was
how,
shit.
But this is how I'm saying this to laugh at myself,
right?
Because I actually had the key to the woman's dorm, and I went in the dorm upstairs in her room, walking past all of these girls that are looking at me like, you better get out of here. You gonna get in trouble. And I'm looking at them like, shit.
I'm about to
ain't leaving till I get done.
Yeah, I'm about to destroy. Oh, no, y'all walked all the way back to the room. That was a given.
Nah, she told me which room, and I went right to it. All and right. She came out, boom, boom, boom. But what I learned is, and you're not going to be able to notice this by me saying, she was a black belt in karate.
Oh, damn.
So, like, she got away with certain shit. But I didn't realize that because I'm like, this girl got a boyfriend, and I'm walking up in here like, nobody's going to snitch on her?
Yeah, she beat somebody up.
Nah, she had the karate trophies and shit in the room.
She would beat somebody up.
Kung fu your ass to death. But anyway.
Yeah. I felt cheapened. That first threesome, I felt cheapened. It was fun, though. That shit opened up doors. A Pandora box can get open quick.
But it's wild because you can do a chick dirty and don't think twice.
Right.
Chick do you dirty. It just makes you feel nasty.
Like y'all just use the hell out of it.
Yeah, like, why you do me like that?
Yo, y'all just use
because you see guys all the time. And I try to say to female friends, a lot of times, we're not wired for a woman not to follow our bullshit.
I agree.
Like, if a woman does us kind of foul, for some reason, a lot of times, dudes turn into a simp and wonder why this is happening instead of just walking away and realizing, okay, this ain't for me.
I mean, right. It's just a part of the process, my lady.
Sometimes, man, you just got to let women be, man.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Let's jump to a quick music conversation. Let's talk about your buddy Dame Dash and what he's been doing right now, and then the stuff that he got going on with Cam, where he's now suing Cam for $300 million.
All of that is foolishness, man.
Right. He hurt his wife and kids' feelings. He made them. That's what he said. It was some shit like that.
I can't believe he's even asking this question.
And then his shit with on the Breakfast Club and stuff like that.
Dame is hurt.
He's definitely hurt.
He's hurt. But the problem is, Dame isn't a good friend anyway.
Nah.
Now all of a sudden he's hurt because his money isn't the same. So a lot of his character and confidence was behind financial power.
Right.
Now I'm not going to get into, you know, calling him broke and all that stuff. I'm not doing that. You know, he's far from that more than likely. But he's having some issues.
Right.
But broke is in the eyes.
Yeah,
as
a beholder. Yeah. It's different levels of broke.
See what I'm saying? There's people
super rich and then down to our level, mind is broke. That's broke for him.
There's people who look at us and call us broke ass niggas.
Right. And we good.
I'm fine. I mean, I don't have everything I would want. Right. I have everything I need.
Right.
But him on Breakfast Club was hilarious and painful at the same time.
It was definitely painful.
Painful because this is a guy that was one of the most powerful figures in the music business for a long period of time. Yep. And he's basically on a Breakfast Club clowning himself. You lied.
It's disappointing.
You lied about a position with Revolt, which I'm so confused. Why would you lie about that?
Right.
You could easily fact check
of all things, Revolt. Right. But Vibe is wrong for putting that out there.
All Vibe cares about is going viral. They don't give a fuck about nothing else. But you as a person, to say that on a Breakfast Club where millions of people are listening, and Charlamagne's gonna go out his way to attack you anyway.
Especially after you attacked him. He's definitely
called him
shit.
Gay.
Right, so he's on you.
It's a married dude. But I think Charlamagne handled it well. He laughed at it. I'm not the biggest Charlamagne fan.
Me neither.
But he laughed at it, and Debt Jam Records was funny.
That shit was hilarious.
I'm sorry, it was funny.
It was
hilarious. I was gonna make a post. I'm getting ready to sign with Debt Jam Records.
That shit was hilarious.
And I still might do it one day. Cause I thought about it. I was like, I'll sign with Debt Jam. Shit. Fuck it. If we get that check, I'll file chapter 21 too, whatever. But it disappointed me as an adult because Rockefeller was a great movement.
Yes.
And to see Jay go on so far and now Dame played the victim the whole time.
You start to look and see why that nigga say, yo, I'm good on y'all. Sometimes you look at shit. And
like I say, time reveals. So now we see why Jay moved forward. Because Jay don't like a lot of nonsense, man. And, but two, you see how Memphis Bleek is doing well for himself. You know, Jay-Z was always bigger than the music. And I think Memphis Bleek, man, seeing him on Shannon Sharp Show. I just hate Shay Shay. I just hate saying it.
I just call it Shannon Sharp Show. I'm not.
It
never
sounds
calling
so
I'm
weird.
Never, I'm not
Club
never
Shay
calling
Shay.
It Club Shay Shay.
So okay, now we agree on Shannon Sharp Show. That's what we're gonna call it.
That's what I call it.
And I gotta say this too. He performed before his interview, and the sound quality on Shannon Sharp Show is amazing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was very impressed.
Yes.
I was very impressed. And I was very, very impressed to the diverse guests he's been having.
Yes. Because he had Yayo too recently.
Yes. Yayo's a great interview.
Yes.
He actually is. Mev Bleek is a great interview as well.
It was. Very good.
I think they both represented hip hop very well.
I want to see Yayo and Bleek episode together.
It's going to happen.
I want to, because
it's going to happen.
Yeah. That shit going to be crazy.
It's going to happen. I like Yayo. Interview with Shannon Sharp because he doesn't have to be the guy that was on Math Hoffa's show.
Nope.
Or the guy on Drink Champs. You got to have that balance.
Right.
I like that. And I like the fact that Shannon Sharp reached out to do that because Yayo has a lot of good stories, just as Memphis Bleek has a lot of good stories. I think that was a good move for hip hop. And it's kind of and it's perfect timing because now legacy artists are doing music again.
Yep.
But let me change that. Legacy artists are doing quality music again.
And the sidekicks to these legacy artists were actually dope at one point, are back producing and making music. Like, Memphis Bleek got a project out. It's very good.
I heard Bleek.
It's actually very, very good. I wouldn't mind seeing Yayo do something. Yayo has done stuff in the past. We're not going to say Yayo is one of the best rappers. We're not going to do that at all. But he actually makes pretty good quality songs, and I would like to see that. I like to see Yayo.
Well, with that too, when I've gotten arguments with people, when they talk about who nice and this, he's nigga nice. You don't have to be the nicest guy to put out a dope project.
I agree.
All MCs aren't focused on being the nicest. Like, when I go in the studio, I'm not focused on trying to be the best rapper or having the dopest lines. I'm trying to give you the dopest five-piece.
Yes.
You know what I mean? To where you want that biscuit, you know, when the next one comes. I'm trying to give you a dope five-piece every time that's a cohesive unit of music.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about having the best line or the best punchline. I want to give you music that you will listen to more than once. And when I look at my analytics show me most of my listeners are repeated listeners. That's just the goal.
Right.
Sometimes you can go so hard to have that crazy, crazy punchline. A lot of people hear that shit one time.
That's it. Yep.
Because you ribbity rapping them to death. Everybody's there are fans for that.
Yes, they are.
But the replay value is that what gives you that longevity.
Right. I just think right now with Dame, back to the topic, is disappointing. Because you watch, like you said, you watch Rockefeller, you see how great.
He didn't have to do all this,
right,
though.
You see how dope, right, he did. And that's the biggest thing. It's like, God damn, bro. Now you're going against Cam, and this is someone that.
Get out your own way, bro.
Who always bigged you up, who always showed love to you, and now you doing this, and it's like Cam, now Cam is on some, all right, cool, it's enough. Enough is enough. Let's really expose.
But look how long Cam waited before he even responded.
Waited mad
Cam long. Was like, all right, my nigga, we both from Harlem, you going to chill.
Right.
Then you bringing up Big L stories that Cam is like, Big L
didn't
even
like you. Nigga.
So why are you doing all of this, bro?
And I like what he said. He's like, if we was in a car with bricks and all this other stuff. He said, Big L would have backdoored you. Ain't that right, Mace? He said, yup, he backdoored me. Like, he said that. It's like,
well, a lot of people didn't like Mace. Mace wasn't necessarily a street dude, and some people are jealous when you're not a street dude.
But all the stories I've heard of Big L is kind of Big L was almost like Mace. He was in the streets, but wasn't really a street dude like that.
I don't know about that. I can't tell you what you heard, but that's not really the truth.
Okay.
They wasn't the same in character at all.
I don't think they were the same. I'm not saying they were the same, but in some retrospects. You know what I mean? But, you know, rest in peace to Big L. He was on his way to being something. He was definitely on his way to being something.
That's debatable too.
He wasn't bad.
No, Big L was nice lyrically, but when people say, oh, Jay would have signed him, he would have been this. We don't know what kind of records he would have put together.
Yeah, I don't know about
that. Yeah, he could spit, but do we know if he could put records together?
Yeah. Nah, that one album he did drop wasn't bad. That shit was actually
pretty good.
You're
saying what wasn't bad on a label that was putting out platinum records is different than being not bad and being platinum. It's a big difference.
Yo, don't you semantic-y to the motherfucker. That is semantics as hell. Of course you be on a label.
Music business is all about semantics.
No,
why it's not?
If you're a dope lyric.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed.
Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And Can't Sell Records, you're going to get dropped.
Bro, he would, that first album he dropped, we would have never known what his level of ability would have been if he could have dropped a second album. That first album he dropped when he died. So we would have never known really what that project could have fully done if he had a full rollout, marketing, and put some stuff together. The album was actually good. I bought it. I still got it. The album was actually super fucking good. It was real good. I know they kept pushing that one song a little too much for me, but that wasn't bad. That they had, what, multiple remixes to it? The rap running in.
Yeah, but I'm speaking on if he would have been on Rockefeller. There's no guarantee he would have been.
We don't know if he was even going to really be on Rockefeller. I think that was a conversation that came out later because Jay wanted to sign him. And you remember they was always on the radio. They was on, what, Bobito and all these different radio shows together. But we don't know if they, because I think at the time, fucking Rockefeller wasn't even fully Rockefeller.
That doesn't stop the debate or the question. I'm just saying. People were just saying.
But it wasn't a multi-platinum label at the time. Was it?
You're talking about semantics and you're adding shit to the table.
No,
I'm just saying people acting like if he would have signed to Rockefeller, he would have been an instant success. What I'm saying is it's hard to predict that. That's right. All I'm saying.
Oh, we pretty much talking about the same thing. And
we are. You're just adding extra caveats and shit. Like,
because he dropped the first album, Flamboyant. It was his label, Flamboyant Entertainment, and it was it Warner Brothers or some shit like that?
I mean, it's a difference between a critically acclaimed MC. When I say critically acclaimed, I mean Hood and magazines, because magazines matter back then, to mainstream. It's just it's a totally different bag.
But I personally think some people can do both. He had the look. Can. He had the voice.
He had the look. What look was that? Look? I don't know.
At that particular time, that was a look.
Look? A do-rag and a fitted?
That wasn't the only look he had, nigga. And even in the visual, in the videos, the cornrows to the back.
Big L ain't have a lot of looks, bro. I mean, I can't say what he couldn't have potentially did, because I liked Big L. But now you adding shit.
He had a look, bro.
He had a look.
Now, I'm not. At that time, he had a look. Yeah,
I mean, if that's your perception, I get it. Okay.
Great voice. You know what I mean? You know voice matters. For me, voice matters.
He had a great voice to you?
Yeah, great voice.
Okay.
Great voice.
Let's go.
Definitely could rap.
Okay.
Definitely could rap. It was just.
What else you got?
It was more to see. Like I said, the album wasn't bad.
You going
to
tell me he was.
Production was good.
He's highly marketable?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm asking.
I don't know.
You know everything else right now. What else we got going on?
I think he's marketable. He looked like he's marketable. All
right.
Shit. They were trying some shit.
I would have liked to have seen it.
They were trying some shit. We don't know. He nigga died before the first project didn't even drop good.
Yeah, it's rough.
That's the crazy part about it.
It's rough in these streets.
Cause didn't he pass like how Freaky Todd died? Like just walking up the street or some shit. Yeah, somebody ran up on him.
What they said was retaliation for some shit, but
I believe that. That's a sad part. Streets is, hey, people keep going back to your hoods and doing shit.
Like Bleak said, man, Jay threw all his drugs out and gave him the money. Like, yo, we're gonna live life different.
Yep. Or you could stay here and be in the project. I like when
the Bleak value of friendships, too. Man.
I think what Yayo said, when Yayo said, I don't think Jay-Z liked Bleak and them like 50 liked us. And I'll say as someone that worked on
G-Unit. He can't say Bleak and them, though.
That's what he said.
He can say that, but Bleak is fine. Now, you can say the rest of them.
Right.
But he didn't know the rest of them.
I say this. The thing with, as someone that worked on G-Unit, 50 took care of you niggas. So it was not really teaching you niggas how to go fish.
Which niggas?
All of them. Buck, Yayo, Lloyd Banks, even the game. He took care of you niggas. He gave y'all records that would work and fit for your projects. He took off heat. stopped putting out his shit so y'all could put y'all shit out to ride his momentum. He gave you niggas money when you probably did not deserve your money. He paid niggas Young Bucks taxes and then made sure all that other shit was good for this nigga. He did a lot of shit. We talked about Banks. We love Banks. We think he lyrical. That nigga was lazy as hell, bro. Lazy than a motherfucker. But he's dealt with that shit, kept it moving. Jay, Bleak good. But Bleak said, I got to earn everything. He made you niggas got to go earn it.
Yeah, but the reason why I'm saying I don't like the comparison because Bleak is the only one that's directly connected to him.
Right.
Them other guys he met on the whim.
Right.
They just happened to be nice. A lot of them just met each other for the first time at High 97.
Right, I agree.
With 50, Banks and Yayo, he knew for a long time.
But he knew Yayo, and like Yayo and Fifth said, Yayo brought Banks. But once same again, thing. He knew him. He lived right around the way from
yeah,
him.
Yeah, same
right.
thing. Everybody else was added at the end.
Yep, or in the middle.
Oh, yeah, middle, end.
Yeah, because the game was added. No, shit, the game was added in the middle.
Game was a
and Buck and you know Buck too because Yayo went to jail.
Game was a plug-in.
He definitely was a plug-in.
I mean, it's like he you got the Pro Tools. You just add this plug-in.
Yeah,
real
he definitely
fan.
Was a plug-in.
Yeah, Dre was like, "Look, man, son, nice. But I ain't got time for this shit."
No, Dre didn't even want to fuck with him.
That's what I said. Yeah. I ain't got time for this shit.
Yeah,
I don't need it. I'm rich.
And Jimmy Iovine popped up was like, "Yo, Fifth, you want to take him?" And he's like, "Why?"
But when Yayo speaks about Game, I respect how he does it.
Yeah, he doesn't. He don't really shit on him.
No, he basically said. Game wanted to rep the West, man. He said, we ain't West Coast niggas, man. He said, the way Game did it and handled it probably could have been better, but Game right. was listening to the niggas.
Yep.
And Jimmy Henchman don't like 50.
Nope.
So Game kind of fell into that.
Yep.
Which I can't knock because you think about how you were in your 20s and your mentality. Like,
oh, yeah.
You
reckless.
You always on attack more than your 20s.
Yeah, always. Invincible. You felt invincible.
I can't imagine being on death row at 21 years old.
Hell no.
I'd have been dead by now. I know I'd have been wild as that.
I couldn't imagine being on G-Unit at 21, especially as a rapper.
Well, I'm from Queens, so it wouldn't have worked for me.
I'd be knocking niggas across their top, bro, for no reason. I watch niggas knocking niggas across their top.
But you know what's funny? I will say this. I remember when Maserati Fox was living, G-Unit Dumb Out, right?
Yep.
I was supposed to sign to them.
Oh, wow.
With Maserati. Because the first mixtape I did, DJ Prince did it, and DJ Prince was cool with Maserati. And I talked to Maserati on the phone before. And it's funny, when I watched the documentary, I got to throw this in there. I watched the documentary. They said Maserati Fox was a master at meeting people and grooming them to become demons.
Mm.
Right? So I was like, signing to that nigga would not have been good for me. Son.
See?
Because I wasn't 20 at the time, but I was still 28, I think, 30 maybe. Maybe see? 32.
Street shit, automatic, already.
Yo, son, when the money start rolling in, yep. and you running with these dudes.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard not different. To get fall into
yeah,
that, yo.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
But yeah.
Especially when you already got a piece of that in you already. And that, I think that's a lot of stuff people don't realize.
But, I mean, you know, G-Unit Dumb Out had a lot of resources dealing with 50 because Maserati was 50, man.
Yeah.
And Maserati was known for pulling up on niggas when shit got five or five, six carloads. So you with all of these people and they saying pull up. It's hard not to be part of the pull up.
That's a fact. That but is yeah. a fit act. But yeah, I love what all they doing. You know, we off the Dame Dash. Dame, get well, bro. Figure it out. Stop the goofy shit, though. You know what I mean? Whatever
yeah, that Breakfast Club interview was unnecessary.
Yep.
You know, and I try to be on people's side, but I can't defend Dame at all.
Yep, it's hard.
And I'm not going to defend Charlamagne either, but I think Charlamagne handled that particular interview well.
Well, yep, I agree. All right, man. Last but not least, last topic of the show. How do we as black men navigate vulnerabilities in relationships without feeling or appearing weak? How do you do it?
Well, you got to get out of your own way. It's mm-hmm. just like even with transparency. A lot of times we don't say certain things because of, and I can say this with all confidence, because of fear how a woman's going to react.
Right.
Even though as men, we hate to use the word fear because we say we're not scared of shit.
Right.
But that's cap.
That's super cap.
We scared as hell of our women looking at us as we a fucking punk.
Yeah.
You're lying.
Not even that. Not even feeling punk. Just feeling inadequate. Like you just.
That's the same like as feeling like a
yeah.
punk, bro.
Yeah, okay.
Because we exaggerate that feeling of inadequacy. That makes us feel like shit.
Yeah.
Or feeling insufficient in some kind of way.
The sad part is, bro, even with that, we dive in that into that thinking so much that fucks us up. Even. that even that level of commerce, that thought fucks us up.
Let's bring the word back, all encompassing. Have to bring it back, all encompassing. But even with that, we have to get out our own way. Right. And a lot of times, that can be the indicator of if you have the right woman or you don't.
Right.
The right woman is not going to have you in that feeling.
Nah.
In those situations, because you have to navigate through those things to move forward. And navigating through them means you don't have to repeat that process of wondering what to do when it occurs.
Yo, it's nothing like being with a woman that knows themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
like,
that's, yeah. They have to know themselves in order to understand you all right. day.
And that's a different, you didn't realize that. You don't realize that until you get older. You
but
don't
that, realize that moment,
until you become a man.
That moment is a lot of times the difference between solidifying what matters,
right.
which is that relationship.
Uh-huh.
And that infidelity that's medicinal.
Right.
That moment.
Yes.
Because if that moment, if she tears you down, then there goes that medicinal property right there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That becomes relevant, that has no foundation or no value at all.
Yep.
But it becomes relevant because you need that medicine. And sometimes, well, a lot of times women don't understand, sometimes infidelity has nothing to do with the sex. It's just that medicinal moment of just feeling worthy or just feeling worth something.
Worth something. Right.
But after you finish whatever activity I got going on, you know, you're back to feeling worthless again.
Right.
So what do you have to do? You got to do it more.
Right.
Or you add another
level, or you add another more caveat medicine. To it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking all the times, have I felt weak in my relationship? No, I haven't. I haven't felt weak in any relationship, but inadequate in when it comes to, like, especially when I was down bad financially. You're like, damn, as a man, I should be handling my business a lot better. I felt that to a point even in my marriage where it was like, yo, we got the money. The money is there. I'm feeling like I got to have more. I got to do more.
But you'll never have enough.
Right. Yeah. In your mind, you definitely
know. No, you never have enough. Even when you provide for your family, you're never going to have enough. And if you're ever in a situation with a woman that maybe has more money than you, you'll definitely never have enough. Because every time you start doing better, you're still looking like, oh, I can still do better. Just as a man, you always feel like.
Right.
The bad thing is, I wish we looked at our health that way.
That's a whole nother conversation.
You know what I'm saying?
If we that look was the case, we look been at, on point a long time
we
ago.
We look at everything in life to where we always have to improve.
Right.
Except our health,
right?
You know what I'm saying? If we can,
that's never even on the list, bro.
I think we're doing better relationship wise because I think we're starting to care more,
right?
Right? You know, I know for myself and from behalf of this podcast, we care about things of that nature. We know the power within that.
Yes,
we need those relationships, whether it's friendships or whether it's, you know, the romantic aspect, because we're not anti-marriage here, and a lot of shows with black men is anti-marriage. And,
I'm never speaking.
You know, and
that.
I always wonder when people speak against marriage and family, do they really mean what they're saying, or they're just, you know, chasing, you know, revenue streams? Because it's definitely a popular conversation to not be for marriage. Just like now, it's popular for women to say certain things. Like now, it's a popular thing I've been seeing lately about the separate bedroom thing.
Yeah, I've been noticing that
and,
too.
You know, we had my friend on the podcast, and she speaks on that, wanting to have separate bedrooms with whatever man she's with or whatever.
No disrespect, and we love the person he's talking about. When I see women that say that, I hate to say this, but I look at the type of woman they are.
Oh no, she's my person outside. As far as friend,
right?
That's my person. That's like, that's sister girl right there.
Right, right.
I love her on all angles, but right. That one comment is just fucking wow. Right.
I always
have to like everything she says,
right?
But that's the homie. But that right there, and she's adamant about it, and it's like,
I
don't know how
person.
That works.
I just look at the person. I look at the, you look at the people that say that. You, and a lot of times, I hate to say it, it's our own women, black women, and look at them. Look at some of the content that they put out or some of the things that they say just out their mouth, and you'll realize why they want separate bedrooms.
I think some of the things that uplift women and make them strong are wonderful.
Yes.
But I think sometimes they're misunderstood and taken too far left.
I'm not going to say they're misunderstood. I think they misunderstand themselves, if anything. We don't misunderstand them.
That's the same thing. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about them misunderstanding what's being said.
Okay.
Because a lot of women are saying dope things.
Right.
And within the comments, you can see that they really didn't get it.
They didn't get it.
Because a lot of these women that are talking are married with families.
Yep.
And you're taking pieces from it And that's like somebody listening to our podcast and just taking something, and then you and I be like, we didn't say that.
Right.
I didn't mean that shit.
Nah, that was wrong.
Like, y'all just took this somewhere else. Like.
Clipping up the bullshit.
Yeah, because a lot of educated women,
right,
a lot of wealthy women,
right,
are big on being submissive to their man, mm-hmm, big on uplifting their man. But then you have the other dynamic that's just like the total opposite.
Especially a man that's doing everything that, you know, quote unquote, he's supposed to do for him. His family and his partner.
And that's different for every dynamic.
Yep, that's different. Yep.
Like, every woman that's a millionaire doesn't have a man that's a millionaire as well.
Nope.
But every woman that makes $100,000 will say she can't deal with a man that makes less than her $100,000.
Yeah, which is weird to me.
So if I make $75,000,
right,
I'm not worthy of it.
Right.
Like, I had a woman say to me one time, I'd never mess with a man that's been to prison. And I'm like, word. Like, that word. Okay. Yeah, right.
Oh, you don't know.
Fucking dummy. But, yeah. I've been
splitting your back.
No, I'm talking about. I would tell you. Year. I would tell you, but I'm not. Cool. Fuck it.
But, yeah.
And, hey, this isn't a sexist comment. We keep it in the band.
No, we keep it in the band.
Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So.
If you feel like it's a sexist, that's because of you.
Yeah, man.
Yo, I will keep it a band. And yo, to be totally real, it's funny how you get that rap on our platform when I might be the one that's more sexist than you are.
Well, it's the yin and the yang, and it depends on which episode you're watching.
Right.
We intentionally go.
We really do
separate sides, different topics.
Yep.
Because it's better for the dialogue. For
I'm
more of a dialogue person than he is. I know I get on his nerves sometimes when I spark dialogue with certain things he don't feel like talking about. Because you can see on his face he gets frustrated, like, I'm supposed to know. But I want the clarity to be to the listener.
Which is good.
Not to me.
I think it's good.
You know what I'm saying? That is dope. Yeah. But it's a show.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And we treat this as a show. More so than the podcast. We treat it just as if it's being played on the network for millions of people to watch. So. Yep. We have to bring you that dynamic.
You
and
have
that
to see both sides.
So
yep.
There's no sexist going on. There's no double standard going on. Mm-mm. And we're older now, so we look at it differently. When we were younger, yeah, we probably were part of that dynamic, but we don't promote that dynamic here.
Never.
Ever.
We're never going to promote divide. I'm not never doing that.
No.
I think that's something that's been going on way too much. And we're not talking politics, because the problem with politics also is no one is going to ever agree.
Politics or religion. We don't really touch on it.
Yep. So when it comes to relationships, we can only provide you our perspective from our perspective and what we've done in our lives and what we've seen and how we've seen things and how we've done things and navigated the system. So everything is going to be a skewed perspective, but that's the whole purpose of the show. It's the Black Male Podcast. We can only give you from our perspective of how things we see in life that we've lived. We're upper age gentlemen, so we've lived a lot of life. It was a lot of life lived in these two bodies. So we've seen a lot, and we've done a lot. We've done a lot of stupid shit. Done a lot of phenomenal things as well.
Oh, man.
Right. Be here all day talking about having the stupid shit.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
But, yo, man, as we end the show, you got anything you want to add?
Yeah, value relationships, whether platonic, mm-hmm, romantic, or even with your brothers, man. We have to do a better job of checking each other, holding each other accountable. We spoke with Dame Dash earlier. Perfect example.
Right.
I'm going to throw my own example out there. I had a situation that meant a lot to me that was really a part of my enlightenment, a dominant part of my enlightenment. And you know, dealing with my father falling off and passing, you know, it tore a lot out of me. You know, I didn't show it, but people that know me know internally I was going through turmoil. And this man right here took it upon himself to make a call, not a phone call, but a phone call in today's world, to make a call. And shit brought me back to life, man. The world is in trouble. The grind is crazy again. That's the definition of a friend. You know what I mean? A friend represents you when you're not there.
Right.
And a lot of us have those type of situations when we don't appreciate them. The value of it can never be underestimated. We need to value our relationships. We need to cherish our relationships that are blessings from the universe, that are there to uplift us. They're there to enlighten us, and you to enlighten those friends as well.
Wow. Hey, man. We do things because we do things. I believe I'm my brother's keeper at all times, so... I see my brother spiraling. Let's see what we can do. Or he just, you know, need a little boost. That's what I do.
We need more of that opposed to laughing at people.
I know we talk about that. Rough situations. We talk about different things all the time, how, you know, we might not have received each other the same 1,000 years ago. You know what I mean?
Of course not.
Because we was in different times in our life. But of course not. The time that we've been rocking with each other, you're swearing down. We've known each other for 1,000 years.
I mean, we've heard that from people.
Yo, yeah, swearing down. We've known each other for 1,000 years.
We actually really got close doing the show.
Yep. Yeah, that's a fact.
I mean, our friendship was really birthed on the show.
Yep. Yep. The different ebb and flows of this show. You know what I mean? So, and y'all sat through a lot of our turmoil and pain, you know, and our issues. If you don't even know, if you go back to them first few episodes, we used to beef on this motherfucker for no reason.
Yeah, because of him, man.
He's going to play with me. I'll take it.
This guy is so confrontational. It's hilarious, bro.
For some time.
Yeah. Sometimes. He's confrontational.
It's good for the content. Sometimes. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. But, you know.
Yeah, okay. Content. Yeah.
This is the Black Male Podcast. CS is who I am.
J Dot is who I am.
Catch y'all next week, man. Peace.
Most definitely.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.